Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're discussing the administration's aim to reduce the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. Our guests today are Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive at VMware, and Greg Sanchez, the Chief Technology Officer in General Dynamics Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions Office. Well, let's start with some basics. We know that there's the 25-point IT reform plan that's been put out, cloud-first policy, big news around the budget, the 2012 budget request that came out that talks about cloud. What's the current amount of agency business that can be leveraged through the cloud? What can be done now? Doug, let's start with you.
Well, certainly one of the things that jumps right out is in the OMB cloud computing strategy. It's very clear that at least OMB believes that $20 billion of the $80 billion federal IT budget is candidate for cloud computing. So that would say around 25%. Personally, I think it's more a question of when in timing, because I think the number could be considerably higher than that from a potential cloud volume standpoint. And here's why. When we talk about cloud computing, you have the internal private cloud and you have some service provider cloud models. And I think that if you include both of those in the estimate, then the number would be considerably higher, maybe even two or three times as high.
Greg, do you have some thoughts in terms of how much money we're talking about? Because $20 billion, it was a little surprising when I saw that number in the cloud computing strategy that OMB recently put out.
That $20 billion number is a large figure, and it's even a large component of this overall $87 billion IT spend. But I think more important than how much you could actually move or what the potential is, it's what are some of the opportunities that exist today and how do we start to move forward? I think what we need to really do is start taking these some small steps and start driving the direction of cloud and not focus on, hey, we're going to save $20 billion. It's a nice number to have out there and a nice target, but we need to start moving in that direction. You know, we got to start walking before we could run.
One of the interesting things I keep hearing from CIOs is less about the money savings and more about the speed and agility. I mean, the money is kind of like the ice cream on the cake or that low-hanging fruit. It's like, hey, we can save some money up front, but it's the speed and the agility. When you guys look at cloud, when you talk to your customers, what are they focused on? Are they focused on the money, the savings, or are they focused on other things?
Well, Jason, that's a really good question, and here's why. Because fundamentally, you know, when you get down to the purpose of an IT organization, it is to enable the business or the mission to be successful, right? So I think those CIOs that are talking about, you know, the agility benefits of cloud computing who are right on mark, because that gets to the core of why their organizations exist. And so absolutely, cloud computing, but really has two main benefits, really. It's cost efficiency and agility. And when you talk about virtualization being part of a cloud computing technology architecture, the abstraction of virtualization allows the technology and applications to be much more mobile and much more flexible and adaptable, as well as the underlying infrastructure, which then creates this agility. And so when we talk about the agility, we talk about service levels in a pre-cloud world that are measured in months and sometimes many, many months, you know, pushing to a year. And then in a cloud model, we're talking about minutes and hours, you know. And so absolutely, that is a tremendous agility benefit that then contributes directly to the speed and the flexibility of the mission of the organization.
Greg, give me some perspective of what you guys are seeing at General Dynamics from your customers, from what you're hearing.
So we're hearing a lot of things across the board on why they want to move towards cloud computing. We're seeing the cost savings being really a driver. A lot of agencies are trying to see how they can move to this commodity-based world, you know, not specialized equipment, low cost, and also moving their agency away from the IT business and really being able to focus on the mission. So there is one direction that says, I want low cost, I want commodity, I want to move towards focusing on mission. I also want to be able to do things more quickly. So that really leads to that agile, the agility question that you posed. You know, today, if I want to host an application or develop a new application within my agency, I need to go through long procurement cycles. I need to identify infrastructure. I need to make the purchases. Well, cloud computing really changes that model. It allows me to go out and provision those services very quickly on the fly. I could have stuff up and running, again, like Doug said, in minutes, hours, instead of months that it used to take before. So we've really changed the dynamic in the federal space on how we can deploy a lot of these applications and services.
I was at a recent conference and Stephen Warren, the deputy CIO at VA, spoke and he talked about cloud computing, how they're using it for the GI Bill, getting requirements up, applications up to meet the GI Bill in a matter of weeks, months versus what would normally take years. And one of the things he'd said during this conference, I thought really took the air out of the room. I thought this was a great comment, was, hey, listen, private clouds aren't necessarily always going to be cheaper than what you're doing now. When you guys look at that private cloud versus public cloud, can you give me some perspective on Is it cheaper? Is it not cheaper? Is this just a VA thing? Or is it all really depends what you're trying to do in that private cloud? Let me start with you, Doug.
The short answer is kind of how you concluded the question, which, well, it really depends on the starting point. But in my experience, when you look at the vertical physical types of architectures that most legacy systems are utilizing, a private cloud architecture is going to be much more efficient in comparison. So I see really high potential for cost savings, even in the private cloud. But in addition to that, again, it really depends on the characteristics of the services or the applications you're trying to run in that private cloud. So I can see that there would be potential for some applications to have complicated requirements that might not be highly commoditized, right? And in those cases, I do think you're going to be looking at a pretty much a equal type of a comparison.
Right. So while you've solved maybe some of the issues of patching, or you have the vendor who's doing a lot of that back end work, there's that customization piece that may come in that may bring the price back up. Greg, did you have some thoughts around the private cloud versus public cloud versus the hybrid cloud?
Just starting with the private cloud and versus the traditional model that exists today, there is the potential that the private cloud could cost more. I could see how that could happen. And that really gets to, how do we provide those services? How do we allow our users to access those compute resources? So today, right now, what happens is somebody needs a server. They call down to the IT department. They say, this is what I need. They open a ticket, whatever happens to be the process in the organization, and they get those assets delivered to them, those resources. If you move it and you allow everybody to start provisioning servers whenever they want on demand, having no way of maybe doing back billing or charging folks for what they use, and allow them to just create whenever they want, you could have server sprawl, just like a lot of the issues that exist today, where people will say, oh, I need a server, I need another server, I need another server, and they never start turning them off, they never start returning them to the shared pool, and all of a sudden, we start building huge private clouds to support all this activity and all this utilization that's non-existent. So it's really about how we, as an organization, allow our users to access those, how we empower them to return those assets when they're not being used, and how we develop our policies and procedures.
I think those are the key words there, policies and procedures, because as you said, the server sprawl can happen whether you're in the cloud or not. Doug, your thoughts?
Yeah, Greg, that was a really good point that you raised about sprawl, because as you considerably lower the barriers to, you know, standing up additional resources, human behavior is such that more and more resources are going to be utilized. And one of the lessons learned through my experience when I was running one of the federal shared services agencies, and we implemented a cloud model, was just that, was that we did see, in fact, individuals utilizing resources at a much higher rate than planned, and at a much higher rate than historical for various reasons, but basically the barriers were lower. So, and the timing was so fast, and it was so easy to provision the new resources. And so really the lesson learned there was really around the governance model, in terms of really adapting and thinking about the decision-making process and the authorities and who needs to review around keeping the budget under control and the resource utilization under control. So it was something that we ran into that is avoidable, you know, as being an early adopter, was just really, you know, think about the governance model as you're implementing your cloud solution.
You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guests today are Doug Bourgeois, the Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive, and Greg Sanchez from General Dynamics, the Chief Technology Officer of their Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions. The mandate from Cloud First Policy from the Office of Management and Budget is really talking about taking things to the cloud in 12 months, one thing. There's a lot of low-hanging you're seeing around email, for instance, at the General Services Administration. The Army is taking their email to the cloud. They're starting this month in February. Give me some sense of what are some of the low-hanging fruit, what can be done first. Let's start with Greg this time.
So like any technology, cloud computing really requires us to understand how to apply that technology to really realize the benefits that it can provide. There's been a lot of technologies that have come before us that, implemented properly, yield tremendous value. Not done in the proper way or for what fits identifying the appropriate use cases really doesn't provide value to the organization or creates additional complexity or cost. So again, cloud computing is no different. So it's really focusing on looking at what are the right use cases. And some of the use cases that we really discuss and we've been talking with a lot of our customers about, several include application development. And we'll go into a few of these, but I want to throw out some for us to consider. Another great use case is around the disaster recovery space, interagency collaboration and test beds that are created across the government space. So there are several options that exist for us to look at, but it's really trying to understand how does cloud computing work And how do we find the right applications for this technology, for this approach?
Doug, from your perspective, what are you guys seeing at VMware? Are you seeing, is it just the really low-hanging fruit, the email, the web hosting? Or are agencies really starting to look at some of the more complex services, but still not the really high-level ones?
Well, there's definitely much more low-hanging fruit than email and collaboration, although that's definitely, you know, one of the near-term opportunities to obtain the benefits from the cloud. And I think the way to really look at the low-hanging fruit is to look at, very briefly, each of the three types of cloud services: infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software, because there's low-hanging fruit in each respectively. In infrastructure as a service, I think that Greg nailed it very well with disaster recovery, for example. And I would add to that, like web hosting and static websites with public information, very cloud amenable today. And Greg also pointed out kind of platform as a service, which is really the software development environment. I mean, this is an opportunity-rich environment for the federal government to really, this is the most, in my view, the most inefficient environment in the federal government today, is how every project gets its own dedicated software development environment. And so this is a really, really, I think, a low-hanging fruit opportunity that could provide tremendous benefits right out of the bat. And that's kind of, you know, taking advantage of the fabric technologies and the platform, application platform areas within a cloud model could provide tremendous benefits. And then finally, in software as a service, there's the simple, you know, standalone appliance kind of applications that are going to be candidates there. But I would say in the most complex, but still ready today, let's take the old ERP applications and those, you know, administrative, very common kind of functions, which would fit well from a cloud economic standpoint. There's core modules there that are candidates for the private cloud. Let's say like payroll, for example, or core financial management applications. But then there's hundreds of applications that surround those that are integrated in. Many of those can be loosely coupled from the core and moved out to a software as a service model outside the private cloud, and then therefore become a hybrid cloud model.
Doug, you mentioned those dreaded words, ERP. I think that a lot of agencies have fallen into the trap of trying to get a big one done and not been very successful. You mentioned a couple of interesting things, though: payroll, HR, financial management, some of those specific modules that can be moved out there. How easy is it that to move that and decouple it?
Here's the key point to remember, is that the evolution to cloud is in fact a journey. And so there are multiple stages involved. And while I wouldn't present the view that ERPs are going to be easy, but right now what should be happening is those core, really critical modules of the ERPs should be moved into the private cloud. There's all kinds of financial benefits and economics that are going to be attained by doing that. And at the same time, let's just say like payroll and HR, for example, the payroll piece, keep in the private cloud, okay? But then the bolt-ons to that, the training modules, for example, or the onboarding applications for bringing on new staff and new employees, those are very easily deployed in a cloud model and tied in through an application integration framework that the SaaS, you know, software as a service, identity management capabilities and services that are already out there in the market to tie these things together. So now is the time to begin that journey with an understanding of what the desired endpoint is.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go back to Greg and talk a little bit about disaster recovery and COOP and things of that nature around the cloud. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guests today are Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive at VMware, and Greg Sanchez, the Chief Technology Officer in General Dynamics Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions Division.
And now, here's the virtualization expert, brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. When it comes to issues like IT consolidation and cloud computing, it can't be overstated. Experience matters. More federal IT infrastructure is virtualized on VMware to create elastic, self-healing, on-demand pools of IT resources than any other platform. In fact, our experience is one of the attributes noted in Gartner's Magic Quadrant on server virtualization. Chances are you know a VMware user. Most civilian and defense agencies use our technology to benefit their missions. Their VMware experience is evidence of the dramatic benefits virtualization delivers. Users can see up to 90% reduction in cost. 190,000 customers can't be wrong.
VMware's IT as a service solutions are based on their award-winning virtualization technology that's the foundation of cloud computing. To learn more, download Gartner's Magic Quadrant on Server Consolidation at thevirtualizationexpert.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our guests today are Doug Bourgeois, the Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive of VMware, and Greg Sanchez, Chief Technology Officer in the Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions Office at General Dynamics. Now, Greg, before break, we were talking a little bit about use cases. Specifically, you mentioned application development and disaster recovery. What are you seeing from your clients in the federal government? What are you hearing from them in terms of how they can take those specific instances to the cloud?
We've been out there talking to a lot of customers with those, and there's a tremendous opportunity that both provide. And just to briefly hit on them, you know, if we talk about, for example, disaster recovery, if we look at the traditional model for how we deliver that, typically we have redundant sites that we stand up, whether cold, warm, or hot sites, that we have this dedicated facilities, dedicated infrastructure in a lot of cases to support these what-if scenarios. What if I have an outage? What if there's a major catastrophic incident in the area of my facility, whether a power outage or something else, and I need to be able to migrate to a secondary site? These are very, very expensive solutions to implement. Where cloud computing really can change the game for us is providing us with an on-demand capability that we only pay for when an incident happens. So kind of looking at it, the insurance model. How do I prepare for something if it happens, but not really pay for having that capability available 24/7, 365 days?
It's like you pay a small retainer fee, and then when you need to turn up the capability, whether it's the bandwidth or the amount of storage, that can be done very quickly. And then you just, for that small amount of time, you maybe would pay a little bit more money. And then when you can turn it back down, you pay less money. Is that the type of model you're talking about?
Yeah, so that would be the concept. Obviously, your applications and your data you want to be able to store, so pay for that storage component and have that available, which storage is probably the cheapest piece of the IT stack there. And then when you want to either test DR once a quarter, every 6 months, whatever your agency requires, you can stand the environment up for 2 weeks, do your test, and pay only for those resources for that two-month period. So it really changes the game and really allows us to just have the access to that infrastructure when we need it for either test or the actual critical incident that occurs where we need the redundant site.
And that actually leads me to a really great follow-up around acquisition process. It really changes how vendors propose, you know, in terms of contract bids to agencies and how agencies buy from vendors. Doug, can you offer some insight in terms of that pay by the drink versus by the whole bottle?
Absolutely. Having lived through it from both sides of the equation as a service provider and a contracting organization. So on the one hand, from the perspective of the acquirer, it's much simpler to acquire services when there's a per unit of measure, you know, from a cost basis standpoint. For the supplier, it's a little trickier. The supplier has to absorb more of the risk and has to understand from a scalability perspective how much infrastructure and technology and labor and all of this is involved in this solution, and then translating that to that simple per user or per virtual machine or per whatever basis of measure cost structure. That is very much a management cost accounting challenge, and it takes a lot of expertise and analysis in order to pull that off. On the other hand, though, it is a much better way to both acquire and consume IT services. So in the end, it is a model that is going to prevail, but there are going to be some bumps in the road along the way.
Doug, your point leads me to ask Greg about the infrastructure as a service BPA that GSA recently awarded about 12 vendors. General Dynamics was one of those 12. I know you guys are still going through the accreditation process, so it's still on the early side. But talk about the benefits that the infrastructure as a service as a vehicle is going to provide and how are you guys going about offering your services. Give me a sense of that contract and how it will work.
Oh, so that's a very interesting contract. It really changes things for the federal government, I believe. To date, they've really been stuck with the option of either building something internally as a private cloud or going out to the public domain and acquiring IT services. This platform, this cloud, is going to be a way for the government to acquire IT assets in a more of a federally compliant cloud, you know, something that's a community cloud for the federal government, where you can be assured that you won't be sharing the physical assets within the data center or be resting on the same infrastructure as maybe some other government agency or some commercial entity. So it really changes the game. It really helps with the security question that there's a lot of concern around. It helps with the issue of, you know, where's my data? Who has access to it? Those questions that we've been hearing. And it's a new approach. It's a new avenue for the government to really look at.
And I know the GSA is going down a path with other as a service, email as a service. There's some geospatial as a service thoughts that are out there. Let's talk a little bit about the future. it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. The new cloud strategy lays out the vision of where OMB wants agencies to go. This really brings together a lot of all the different pieces that they've been coming about, including this infrastructure as a service contract, including the NIST work around standards. Let's start with Doug. Give me a sense. You know, 2015, there's a big push to reduce data centers. What is the future going to look like? Are we all going to be floating in the cloud and happy as can be?
We're all going to have our heads in the cloud, and we will be happy there. So I see the federal enterprise of the future is going to unfold from a cloud perspective in two dimensions, and those two dimensions are going to be tied together, and I'll link that at the end of my response. And so first, we're going to see vertical community clouds evolve in the federal government. These are going to be clouds that are joined together to support specific missions such as energy, education, scientific research, environmental, resource conservation. You know, the list will go on and on, but there's a mission affinity that is going to occur in these vertical community clouds. But in addition to that, we're going to see horizontal commodity clouds evolve as well. And a good example of this is what we were talking about earlier with the platform or software development, application development services, where there's an integrated development environment and the tools necessary to do the integration, the packaging, the virtualizing, and the promotion into operations for any new software development effort. And as you might expect, you know, any agency, all of these missions, all of these community clouds are going to need software development services. So that needs to be a horizontal type of a cloud. And the key element of tying these together is critical from an overall efficiency standpoint, and that is the use of open standards-based approach within the cloud model from a technology standpoint. And this is something that VMware is taking a leadership position on, which will allow then the applications to be developed in these horizontal community clouds to be easily progressed through the development to the test cycle, like Greg was describing earlier, and the need to really expand on those resources during the test cycle, and then very easily click and decide, hey, I want this application to be deployed in my internal private cloud, and I want it to be deployed in my service provider hybrid cloud. Well, open standards-based technologies is the only way to accomplish that.
Greg, obviously Doug laid out his future vision. When you look in your crystal ball, what do you see? What do you, you know, whether it's 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, or even 50 years down the road?
Cloud computing has been compared to the utility industry, and a lot of times it's been referred to as utility computing, and we've heard words like that in the past. So, I mean, if we draw some parallels of what's happened in that industry, maybe we can see what we might look like as a compute industry in the future. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting in the utility is you don't care where your power comes from. You don't care if it's some guy's solar panel who's connected to the grid who has excess capacity and plugs it in. What you care about is when I turn on my light switch, do my lights turn on? So if we look at how that might be applied to the compute industry, from a business user perspective, I really don't care where my data, how my data is processed. I don't care. I mean, obviously, I have security concerns and I have issues around my applications, and there might be key requirements for me. For example, my app must be processed in a secure facility. My data can't be shared with anybody else. But you might also say, I don't want to pay more than X for the compute resources. So applications will be bundled and intelligently be able to execute in any cloud that meets these requirements of their applications, moving around freely through the internet and cyberspace, and meeting as long as they meet the requirements of users. So, I mean, that's kind of a far out vision, but I think in the future it's going to be less important of where it's processed as long as the facility and the compute infrastructure that's processing my apps and my data meets my requirements.
You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our special guests today were Doug Bourgeois, the Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, and Greg Sanchez, Chief Technology Officer in the Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions Division of General Dynamics. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Join us next time for the next Federal IT Challenge conversation with VMware.
To learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.